as you are all aware, our nation is gripped in the vicious vice of a fireman's strike. And of course, the whole nation is alerted to the terrible menace that a fire can cause and the damage that results. But as I was thinking of these warnings about fires, and once they caught hold, they could not be put out, I immediately thought of fires in this world that cannot be put out. I have three passages of Scripture I want to refer to. The first you will find in the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel. It's the verse 11. That old, rugged, fiery preacher, John the Baptist, is speaking. John the Baptist was a non-establishment figure. He didn't conform to the religious world of his day. He didn't wear the dress that was common to the preachers. He wore a camel skin coat. He didn't have fine buttons on his coat. He had a leathern thong around his girdle. He didn't graduate from the schools of Jerusalem's theology. He graduated in the wilderness when the Spirit of the Most High came upon him. He didn't eat the food of the establishment. His diet was locusts and wild honey. And when he preached with strong, burning, blistering language, attacking religious hypocrisy, the priestcraft and Phariseeism of his day, and attacking that old adulterer Herod who sat on the throne and condemning him for his immorality and for his fornication and for his brazen uncleanness. Of course, a preacher like that doesn't get on very well. And he didn't get on very well for about the age of 32. He was taken out and he was beheaded because of his faithfulness. But here's what this old preacher said, verse 11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, if you look carefully at your authorized version, you'll find the word with is in italic print. That means there is no word in the original that corresponds to that word in our translation. So in the original it reads, with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's a fire that cannot be put out. The fire of the Spirit of God. And for a little time this evening, I want to talk about the fire of the Spirit of God. Then turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. And in this chapter, we have the judgment of the saints. There's a difference between the judgment of the saints and the judgment of the sinners. No believer will ever be judged for his sins. Thank God the Lord Jesus was judged for my sins at Calvary. And I'll never be judged for them. So we'll not stand at a judgment throne to be judged for our sins. But we'll stand at the judgment throne or the judgment seat of Christ to be judged and adjudicated for our service, for the service that we did for Jesus Christ. And here's how the test will be. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed with fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Holy Ghost fire. Judgment fire on the works of the believers. Then turn over with me to 2 Thessalonians. And in verse 7, Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Flaming fire! The fire of hell! The fire of eternal doom on the souls of the lost. Three fires that cannot be put out. I want to talk on the first one now, the fire of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. 28 years ago, this month, I learned something. It was the greatest thing I ever learned as far as my ministry was concerned. I learned that except I knew the fire of the Spirit of God, then I could never do acceptably the work of God. And I got three men. The Reverend John Douglas, who was my first convert in my church down the road. First person I led to the Lord 31 odd years ago. I got a chap called Bob Scott, who later became a missionary. And I got a brother who's still with us in the church, Brother Wes, and we decided to have a prayer meeting. And we decided that we would wait before God until God would give us that blessed fire in our souls. So we prayed for an hour, and we prayed for 2 hours, and we prayed for 3 hours, and for 4 hours, and for 5 hours, and for 6 hours, and for 7 hours, and we went on praying all of that night, all the following day, and into the next night. And as we were entering the next night, God gave us the blessed assurance. God gave us the wonderful confidence that He had wrought within our hearts that blessed and holy fire which alone can give power to the preaching of the gospel and to the claims of Christ in the hearts of sinners as it's pressed upon them in the gospel preaching. We didn't speak in tongues. We didn't feel any electric shocks from the soles of our foot to the crown of our head. But we knew that God had baptized us with fire. I want to tell you that on the Sunday morning, there was a practical riot in our church. Because I preached that morning as I never preached before. I didn't enter the pulpit. I stood at the communion table. And I laid hold upon God and laid hold on the consciences of the people that sat in that church. And it split right down the middle. And half of the people left, said, "Paisley's gone mad. Glorious madness. God give us more of it." And they rebelled. And they fought. But thank God there were people that caught the fire of God that day. And we went on with evangelism. And the building of this church is the result of what God did in those early days. Or some of the older people remember those Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. And I tell you, if you weren't blessed, you were blistered. Those were old-time meetings. The fire does something. I want to tell you what the fire of God does. And I would pray tonight, oh God, give us a baptism of this fire afresh. Let it fall on the preacher and on the hearer alike. And let them feel the wave of power in their souls, that they might know what it is to be real before God. First thing the fire does, it makes a revelation. You turn over to that portion in 1 Corinthians 3, and it says the fire reveals. What does it reveal? It reveals the total and hopeless and awful sinfulness of the human heart. That's what it reveals. When Isaiah came into God's presence, he said, woe is me. And when the fire of God starts burning in the heart of a Christian, he finishes with all the cosmetic exercise and the whitewashing that he's been engaged in, trying to make himself something that he's not. And he says, oh God, I see my heart, and it's black, and it's filthy, and it's soiled, and it's hard with sin. Have mercy upon me. I tell you, until God Almighty shows you yourself, he can never show you his mighty power working within your heart. Secondly, the fire purifies. And there's nothing like fire to purify the heart. There's nothing like fire to burn up the dross. There's nothing like fire to get down to the very depths of the scum that is gathered in the hearts of the people of God. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 24, if you would. And it says here, then set it empty, Ezekiel 24:11, upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. The scum that is gathered on the hearts of the people of God can only be purified by the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say tonight, in this church, and let me say it from the depths of my heart, isn't this an age when the scum comes upon the very souls of God's people? Isn't this an age when prayerlessness and carelessness and worldliness are the order of the day, isn't it? Don't you find, believer, as you go about your business, that it's harder to live for God than ever it was before? I find that. But I want to tell you there's a remedy for it. And it's a mighty baptism of fire. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. The endowment of power. That's the answer to it. That'll deal with the scum of prayerlessness and worldliness. What does fire do? Fire consumes. My, you get a fire going, and the more you feed it, the more it will blaze up. The more it will take. And it'll open its jaws and receive all that you can shovel into it. And I tell you, what we need is a great baptism of fire that will consume everything that's not God-honoring and God-glorifying. Don't you feel tonight you need to be cleansed afresh with the refining fire of God? I know that's what I need. I confess it tonight with all my heart and soul. Oh, for a purging. Oh, for a refining. Oh, for a purifying. Oh, for such searing fire in my soul that I might see that all that hinders God in my life might be burned to a cinder under the mighty power of God. And then fire does something else. Fire illuminates. Once there's fire, bless God, we can see in the light of its glorious flame. I'm afraid our eyes have been darkened. I'm afraid, my brethren and sisters, we have lost the vision of the dying and of the damned. Have you laid your ear to the keyhole of hell this week? Have you listened to the sighs of the damned out there in the blackness of the incarnation of the everlasting lost? Have you? Have you heard the screams of souls forever beyond the reach of divine mercy, forever beyond the reach of the gospel call, forever beyond the reach of prayers? And have you thought that soon your family will be gone? Soon your brothers will be gone. Soon your sisters will be gone. Soon your neighbors will be gone. Soon your mates at work will be gone. Gone beyond the reach of grace. Beyond the stretch of the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. Beyond savability. And if I don't get them saved before they put on their shroud, if I don't get them saved before their coffin for their burial, then they're beyond God's mercy forevermore. Have you thought about that? No, you haven't. You know why? Because the fire of God has not illuminated your eyes. 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one away, and Christless guilt and gloom. I never walk up these stairs. I never stand in this pulpit. But there's a knife in my soul when I think of men and women who have listened to my preaching and yet have not been reached by the power of the gospel. And there's only one answer to it. It's a mighty, refining, enduring power! The baptism with fire! That's the only thing will do it. You want to warm a cold church, you need a baptism of fire. Do you want to take away cold prayer meetings, you need a baptism of fire. Do you want to take away cold preaching, you need a baptism of fire. Do you want to take away old dead formalism, you need a baptism of fire. Do you want the preacher to preach with power, then he needs a baptism of fire. Do you want the elders to do their work the way the work of the eldership must be done? Then they need a baptism of fire. Do you want the committee of the church to do the work that a committee ought to do in all its fullness? Then they need a baptism of fire. Sunday school teacher, do you want to teach that Sunday school class and reach all the young lives that God has given you in that class? Then you need a baptism of fire. Nothing else can meet the terrible need of our hearts but a baptism of fire. Fire generates warmth. There's nothing like giving to the fire. And a cold, winter, snowy night, the fire generates warmth. Oh, to light a fire that'll warm the cold heart of Belfast. Oh, to light such a flame that poor, cold, frost-bitten men out in the snowy wilds of their sin might rush in to warm their hands in the warm fires of Holy Ghost power. Oh, to start such a blaze for God that the world, this old, cold, heartless, dead, dying world, might be warmed with the love of Jesus and the passion of the crucified.
Fire generates heat. Fire creates energy. You say, preacher, that's what I need. I haven't the drive I used to have to go to the prayer meeting. When I get to the prayer meeting, I don't pray the way I used to pray. When I take down my Bible in the morning, I don't devour it the way I used to devour it. It's not more to me than life, more to me than home, more to me than wife, more to me than family. It used to be sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. But preacher, brother, preacher, I must confess tonight, it's a dry book getting. You know why? You need a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, my brother, to generate this energy, this mighty energy that'll drive you on for God and truth. Old Christmas Evans was a great revival preacher of Wales. And when he left one meeting, he used to have an old wheel cart to the horse. And he used to say to the man that drove him, as he was rushing from one great revival service to the other, he used to shout, "Drive on! Drive on! Drive on!" And when Christmas Evans came to die, they heard a whisper from the deathbed. And when they leaned down and put their ear to the old preacher's lips, he was still crying, "Drive on! Drive on! Drive on!" What drove him on? Thank God, what drove him on? Drove him across the Jordan River and got him to the everlasting throne of the everlasting God. What was it? The fire, my brother! The fire of God the Holy Ghost! And we can't go on the way we're going on until God gives us a fresh baptism with power from on high. That's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let me turn to the judgment day. One day you and I will stand before God, and our life's work as Christians will be tested. Now let me make it clear. If you're saved by grace alone. You're not saved by works. Neither works before or after conversion. If God saves you, thank God you're saved with an eternal salvation. Nothing can alter it. Hallelujah. You don't need to hold it. God holds you. Hallelujah. It's God's work. But I want to tell you, your service will be tested. And it's going to meet the fire test. God's going to test it with fire. And you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you'll find there's people building on the foundation of Christ. Though they're on the foundation. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. They're on the foundation. Yes, sir. And they're building gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. And God's going to put the fire test to what they're building. I have a question for you, my brother. I have a question for you, my sister. I have a question for my own soul, my own heart, and my conscience tonight. When the fire test is applied to my service, what's going to happen? If I have sought to preach eloquent sermons from this pulpit, if I have climbed the pulpit stairs rejoicing that I have something unique to show you from the Word of God and take some sort of credit that by my study at home I have some choice food for your soul and I take the glory to myself in the day of judgment, it's all going up in smoke. Wood! Hay! Stubble! But if I enter the pulpit with a heart on fire, with love for perishing men, if I enter the pulpit with a desire just to reach some poor wandering soul and get them home to the Father's house, if I have a desire to feed some hungry soul on the living bread of everlasting life, then there'll be gold, and there'll be silver, and there'll be precious stones. If I don't do it out of love for Christ, I'd have joy of being a Christian. I'd have a compassion for the Son of God. Then it's all wood and hay and stubble. A fire that cannot go out! I think that's the greatest tragedy of all. To stand at the judgment seat of God and see your whole Christian service destroyed. I want to tell you, friend, it doesn't need to be. Thank God there's the Holy Ghost and fire. It doesn't need to be. Tonight, there's an answer for wood, hay, and stubble. If God gives us that fiery baptism of power, there's men and women in this church tonight. And in the closing moments, I want to talk to you. And what I've been saying has nothing to do with you. But what I'm going to say now has everything to do with you. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not and obey not the gospel. Flaming fire of vengeance on lost souls! What a day is before you, my friend. A day when the fire of God shall burn into your inmost soul. You don't know the gospel. How many times have you attended the house of God and heard God's truth? How many times has the cross of Christ, sir, been lifted up before your face? How many times, dear woman, has Christ been crucified before your very eyes as the gospel has been preached? And night after night, and month after month, and year after year, and decade after decade has passed away, and you have said no to Jesus! You don't know him! You know what the gospel says? It says ye must be born again. The gospel says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Man without Christ, flee to the refuge tonight. Woman without Christ, let not another minute pass. Let not another second go by till you send a message to heaven. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner.